Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline friends, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Byrne. And what a great show I have for you today. We're going to talk about how to make your home cat-friendly and human-friendly. You know, our cats rule our home, but hey, we got to live there too. And we have some great tips for adoption, for pet advocacy, and what you can do to maybe get into TNR, things like that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Ashley O'Brien. She is the founder and CEO of Fluff and Boots. Welcome, Ashley.
Hi, thanks for having me, Michelle. Always excited to talk about cats.
Excited to have you on. Tell us, what is Fluff and Boots?
Fluff and Boots is a cat-centric lifestyle brand, and it's actually named after two of my cats, Fluff and Boots, respectively. And really, the brand was born directly out of my own personal need to find better products for my cats. So I was looking for products that delivered on things like quality, safety, positive impact, and aesthetics. And before I launched Fluff and Boots, that was really hard for me to find. So really proud to have the first purpose-driven cat-centric lifestyle brand filling those gaps in the marketplace.
Well, very glad to have you on as we're all about cats. So let's talk about a cat-friendly home. What do you think most people get wrong?
Yeah, I would say most people think cat-friendly means adding more things. So adding more toys, more scratching posts, more gadgets. But in reality, cats don't need clutter. They need predictable, consistent routines, time for calming rituals, cozy retreat spaces, as well as those thoughtful, well-made essentials that really last and they aren't constantly replaced. So I think a great way to start with building a cat-friendly home is really focusing on fewer, better things and keeping in mind that their space shouldn't be cluttered, but instead intentionally layered for things like comfort, play, and companionship.
Okay, thanks. When did you see this shift? Maybe for you personally, as well as in other people, as far as seeing pet products as part of your home design, not just, as you said earlier, adding extra things for your cats.
Yeah, so for me, it was becoming more of a conscious consumer across all aspects of my life. So that really shifted how I think about home design. In general, choosing those fewer, better pieces that are ethically made and built to last. And the turning point for pet products came when I was, you know, looking at what I was buying for my own cats and realized they didn't meet the same standards as what I was buying for myself in terms of anti-fast fashion and better quality pieces for my home. And most pet products in the marketplace, unfortunately, are poor quality, they're disposable, they're usually made with toxic dyes and really disconnected from the home. So seeing these pieces as part of my overall consumption habits completely reframed how I approached buying pet products. I think they deserve, in my opinion, the same attention to design, quality, and care as much as anything else that we bring into our homes.
So historically, cat products have been very you know, functional, not as design friendly. I've noticed, you know, in doing Catitude and my other show, Best Bets for Pets, which is product focused, that there's been a focus maybe in the last few years, especially after, you know, COVID, when we were all stuck at home, maybe people adopted more pets and had ideas in mind, that there's been a shift toward better design, not just functionality. So not just any old cat tree or litter box, but a litter box may be disguised as, you know, a coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Why do you think we have that trend? And do you see that trend going further?
I do. Yeah. And that's a great observation. I think a lot of that comes down to how cats themselves have been perceived. Historically, I think cats have been seen as independent, low maintenance pets. And that assumption that their needs could be met with purely functional or basic solutions kind of took away from the focus of design or aesthetics. So I think, just as you mentioned, people are kind of shifting more towards these more beautifully crafted pieces and getting away from mass market pet products that are focused more on cost and convenience, not so much longevity, sustainability, and that integration within our homes. So I definitely see that as a trend. And I think that will continue in the future, particularly with cat owners seeing their cats as part of the family and wanting their pieces to live beautifully within our own homes and spaces.
So what tips can you give our listeners on ways that they can integrate the essentials, you know, like litter boxes and scratching posts and feeding stations, possibly water bowls, water fountains, into their home without compromising their aesthetic?
I would say start with quality. If you can invest in high quality, long-lasting essentials, I think something that's well made and thoughtfully designed is automatically easier to integrate into your home. The materials are going to be better, proportions are going to be cleaner, and then you're not going to try to disguise it or feel like you have to kind of hide it away when you have, you know, visitors over. They should be pieces that you're proud to have in your home. And starting with quality across anything you purchase for your cats is a great place to start. And that quality over quantity reduces that visual chaos and clutter and really helps to harmonize a home, making that integration more effortless and easier.
You know, you hit on a great point. Quality is important, and quality is not always more expensive. But if you think about it, whether you should invest, you know, maybe, I don't know, a fancy litter box can run, what, $300, $400, $500. And you think, should I? Well, what would you invest in a piece of furniture? And that litter box, because basically it's just the tray that goes in and out. It's the actual, say it's like a coffee table litter box. Look, coffee table litter box will last quite a while. So when you think about how long you're going to have it, the value of it, it just kind of makes sense.
It does. Yeah. And I, you know, we could get into like things like the Boots theory of economics in terms of if you can invest well in something up front, it saves you time and cost having to repurchase something over and over again in the long run. And I think that applies to things anywhere from, you know, a pet bed to the litter box to anything you're purchasing for even yourself. If you can invest in that quality up front, it will pay off in the long run.
Absolutely. And there's something that this is, so my background's in business, but marketing, and so not finance, but I always remembered, and hopefully I'm remembering this correctly, something called the cost-benefit analysis, and it's how many times you'll use something. So even though I had a guest on a show recently, and they're making pet products now, but they make people products. Their people products are a little bit more expensive. So instead of maybe $15, they're $25, but you can send them back and they'll, you know, resharpen and so forth. So if you think about the cost of use of that you know, product, it comes down to like fractions of cents.
And that's what I think you were referring to. So if you think about what it costs over time, and you could apply that to anything, clothing, you want to buy those shoes that cost $1,200. I mean, not me, but if you want to buy them, if you're going to wear them for 6 years and it makes sense, it costs, ends up costing you $2 a pair, that's a better value than, say, a pair of shoes for $80 that you'll wear one time.
Yeah. And not to mention just the benefit for the environment as well. That's a massive problem right now with fast fashion, and fast fashion production principles translate over to pet goods as well, to where you're buying a blanket that, you know, you might use for 2 or 3 months. And then you think, oh, it was cheap, I'm just going to get rid of that and buy a new one. And that cycle does long lasting harm to the environment. And it's a great way if you can invest in those quality pieces that are going to be durable and last longer, and not only eventually helps your wallet and consumer pockets, but it helps the environment as well.
Yes, absolutely. What do you think is one of the main products that people should focus on that make a difference in their home? You know, that it has to be perfect and it fit into my home, and that's going to make all the difference. I'm going to give you my answer before you tell our audience what you think it is. I think it's your cat tree. Because like mine right now looks like a Dr. Seuss cat tree, because it has this fluffy thing at the top that none of the cats go on top of. And I don't know, my significant other liked them, so we bought them, but they're useless. You know, not only do they look like Dr. Seuss things, which is cool, but I don't know, for a living room, but it's not usable. So I think if you have a great cat tree, that makes all the difference in, you know, how it could fit in your decor and your aesthetic and not make it look like this is a cat house, you know, especially when you have at least three like I do. What do you think?
Yeah, so I actually think investing in multiple comfort zones for your cats, that could be something like, you know, a lounge mat that you can move from room to room, a kneading pad that you can move and always be able to accommodate your cat's kneading, which is great for their well-being. So looking at like lifestyle essentials and how they can accommodate cats' instinctive behavior to kind of rotate through different spaces throughout the home, depending on things like light, temperature, mood, activity. I think when we can give them soft, intentional places throughout the home, not just in one dedicated corner, we're supporting their natural territorial and comfort-seeking instincts. And that's something unique, at least my approach to my own cats. I have a multi-cat household. I have four right now. At one point, I was caring for seven. So I think having multiple places throughout the house for them was really important, and not just having one designated cat bed or not having one just designated cat tree area, because they instinctively like to roam, and having those multiple comfort zones helps to reduce stress because they feel like they have options and control. And for cats, that choice kind of equates with safety. When they feel in control of their environment, their stress levels drop and everything can really improve from there. So I guess that answer is maybe not one particular item, or just even if it is one item, something that you can kind of move and accommodate those multiple comfort zones throughout the home.
You know what? I absolutely agree with you, because as I was listening to you, I thought, do I have that for my cats? And I was thinking about where they hang out, you know, the three of them, different places. And I thought, yes, I do. But one took over a human chair, like a big... Yeah. Like one of those big chair and a halfs. I can see bad ears because Molly has a little black ears. She's a tuxedo. So we see it's hers. Then there's another spot. That's where Dennis likes to hang out. Charlotte's all over the place and she's a little misunderstood. So, but yeah, but I think that's a great idea. And it's also very doable for if you're in a small space or if you rent, because you just have a little cozy place for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to be right back and we're going to talk in our second half about purposeful pet ownership and advocacy beyond adoption. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Ashley O'Brien. She is the founder and CEO of Fluffin' Boots. We talked about how to make your home cat-friendly, but also human-friendly, too. And in our second half, we're going to talk about purposeful pet ownership and advocacy beyond adoption. So, Ashley, everybody thinks that, what can I do for my part? You know, unfortunately, cats, we've come a long way, but there's so many cats are still, unfortunately, euthanized. And so we'll adopt a cat. But, you know, most people maybe adopt one, two. What can we do after that?
Yeah, so I would say adoption is just the beginning. Advocacy can really start once your cat is home. And that's about taking responsibility for their well-being and thinking intentionally about how your choices and even purchases as a pet parent impact them, impacts your community and even the environment. So that responsibility can be practical, everyday actions, like making sure your cat is, of course, spayed or neutered. It can be supporting local TNR programs, choosing, you know, more high-quality, non-toxic, ethically made products for your pets, and then modeling responsible care for friends and family. And I think it's important for listeners to know, or just a good reminder for all of us, that advocacy doesn't have to be grand gestures. It's about small, consistent choices that really add up over time. So I like to think, with every intentional decision, from what you buy to the conversations you have with other pet parents, it really becomes a way to support the larger cat community. And if you can share your experience with your cat, I mean, I know not declawing is so important, and a lot of people don't realize the extreme consequences and how invasive of a procedure declawing is. So if you can just share a little bit about that with another cat parent or someone interested in adopting a cat who might not know how awful of a procedure it is, then those small things can really make a big difference.
By the way, did you watch, hopefully I'm saying this, remembering this correctly, American Cat, The Good, The Bad, The Cuddly?
I didn't. No, I did not. I missed that. But it's a documentary, right?
Yes, it's so good. I actually had the director, and she was also in it. The protagonist was an English woman who's like 9 months pregnant, and it was very tongue-in-cheek, and it's so good. And it really goes to show how people are, you know, there's just so many people that are unaware. There's,
yeah.
In one part, and this is a spoiler alert, in one part of the show, she is calling a vet, and she said, she's mocking this, right? She goes, oh, you know, I have a cat, and I just adopted a cat, but I have a brand new couch, and I don't want it to get clawed up. So, you know, can I just get the nails taken off, you know, declaw? And they go, yeah, sure, you can do that. She goes, well, is there like a discount? Does it buy one paw, get one free?
Oh,
we could make something work. I'm not doing it verbatim, of course, but, you know, oh, we could make something work. She goes, yeah, because my couch is so nice. I don't want it to get messed up. And they're, the vet office is just going along, you know, yeah, we could do that. When do you want to come in? And it's just like, you know?
Yeah, I know. And one of my friends, her interior designer was like, oh, you should get your cat declawed before it gets older. And, you know, things like that. It doesn't make a difference if you declaw a cat when it's a kitten or when it's an adult. It's long lasting, lifelong damage that you're doing. They can't properly knead. They can't stretch. And we actually include an info sheet with every knead it pad we sell that just highlights, you know, some facts about declawing, like the myths. But we also include tips to care for an already declawed cat. Because what happens is, if a declawed cat is adopted out of a shelter, unfortunately, the you know, surrender rate is very high for deep clawed cats because it causes behavioral issues because they're in pain and they can't, you know, engage in those natural soothing behaviors. So we try to actually integrate that type of awareness and advocacy even into our customer experience and within the products we sell, because I truly believe if people know, then they would make the decision to not declaw their cat. And genuinely, people just don't realize how bad it is. So that's something small that we do to help educate, you know, maybe even first time cat owners about feline well-being.
I'm so glad you do that. Just to talk briefly a little bit more, there was a point in the interview, and for folks that are interested, just look on PetLifeRadio.com, Catitude, and just do research. It was American Cat, the Good, the Bad, the Cuddly. I remember one point during the interview when I said, well, if you have cats, just get, you know, furniture that's pet friendly. And she said, I have, you know, clients in, because she's a veterinarian, that was one of the spokespeople for the movie that I had on the show. And she said, I have clients in Beverly Hills with gorgeous, you know, furniture. There's other alternatives. If you can, you know, there's the fake nails for your cats. There's scratching posts, but I have a scratching post right next to my couch and Dennis prefers the couch. And also keep in mind, a lot of people misunderstand that declawing is cutting a joint off.
Yeah, it's more like amputation than...
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, we went off on that, but, you know, that's, again, educate people. And, you know, my next question to you is kind of what we talked about. What does purposeful pet ownership mean to you?
Oh, gosh, I would say purposeful pet ownership means making everyday decisions that consider not only my cat's own well-being, but also the broader community and the environmental and societal impact of my purchases as a pet parent. So on a daily level, that means creating an environment that supports my cat's instincts and comfort, but it also extends well beyond the home. So that means being mindful of where I spend my money and the brands I support, choosing products that are made responsibly. And I think as pet owners, we have tremendous collective influence. The brands we support, the materials we bring into our homes, and the conversations we normalize, all of that has ripple effects. So purposeful ownership is really about recognizing that loving your own cat and being able to contribute positively to the larger ecosystem aren't separate things, that they're really connected in terms of showing love for your own cat and the larger feline well-being community.
How can our listeners find out more about these types of businesses?
Well, for Fluff and Boots, like my business, what we do is, you know, we try to really integrate that advocacy and awareness directly into our marketing, how we really share our mission, and not just from a PR or marketing campaign perspective. But I think if people, you know, can kind of ask questions when they're evaluating which brands to support and purchase, it's really if they're mission is visible past the marketing and PR copy. So asking themselves, is the mission backed into how they run their business? Are their products sourced responsibly? Things like, are they actually tackling the root causes of issues like shelter overpopulation? Or are they just writing occasional checks to kind of highlight their give back efforts? So I think brands that integrate giving into their operations rather than treating it as marketing or as a campaign demonstrate that true commitment. And as consumers, we have the power to kind of vote with our wallets and support companies that approach pet welfare thoughtfully and consistently. And I always have to say, support small businesses and small independent brands when you can. There's research that shows just how much more generous small businesses are compared to the larger pet brands or larger corporations in terms of give back as a percentage. And small businesses tend to be more engaged within their local communities on the ground supporting their local shelters. And the TNR, it kind of goes back to the importance of TNR and spay and neuter. If you can support brands that recognize the importance of that, then that's a great place to start in terms of making your purchase count towards helping not only your own cat, but that larger community for feline welfare.
Thank you. Is there a place or something you can suggest where our listeners can find more small businesses that support animal welfare, especially cats?
You know, that's a great question. I'm not aware of a database or a website. I know sometimes there are apps for things like, you know, for healthy food for us as humans, but I'm not sure. Yeah, that would be a great idea to create one if someone hasn't already curated a list of small brands that have, you know, very high quality, ethically made pet products.
You can generally find these kind of products in privately owned small pet stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure. Because a lot of the smaller pet stores will support smaller businesses because they don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops and spend a lot of money to get into, you know, mass or even specialized, but chain pet stores.
Yeah, that's true. And that definitely goes back to supporting local businesses within your community. I found that a lot of my local pet stores give back to local shelters and, you know, rescue organizations. So it's a really nice circle. Everything comes 360 when you can shop small and support those local retailers that in turn are supporting small brands, you know, like Fluff and Boots and the others out there trying to make high quality, ethically made products.
Absolutely. Let's bring it in with cats because we're almost done. What is one misconception you think people have about cat lovers that you would like to change? Besides the crazy cat lady business, where that one's been done.
Yeah, I think this extends to all cat owners, but there is definitely a misconception that cat owners are kind of introverted or even lazy. But as I'm sure we and your listeners know, caring for a cat requires very active presence, consistency, and deeply intentional care. So I think maybe for, you know, people who've never owned a cat or people who, you know, say that they're more dog person versus cat person, it might look passive or lazy from the outside, but actually, you know, being a cat owner is incredibly engaging. We are no less outgoing or active or happy than dog owners. It's just a quieter and perhaps more beautifully complex kind of love instead of being a bit more loud in terms of being able to go to dog parks. And I think cats are left out of the conversation a lot in terms of even seeing them in media and different nonprofit events. So I think we have a more quieter kind of love, but the misconception that being a cat owner or cat person is the lazy or, you know, easier option in terms of pet ownership is definitely a misconception I would change and challenge.
I agree with you. I think it's because it's rare that you can see cats that walk, although you can train them to walk, but you always have to walk your dogs. I think one misconception I think is that cats all have the same personality. And I've had dogs. I started my, you know, when I was a child, we always had dogs, not cats, and then got into cats when Dennis found me. And my cats are so different. They have very distinct personalities. I think that's such a misconception when people say, well, dogs, you know, they're this, but cats, no, they're bright. They're a lot smarter than people give them credit for.
That's so true. I love that because all my cats have been so different and complex in their personalities. I mean, I feel like I'm living in a cartoon show with
them. Yes. And they're just, they do such funny things. Like right before, I don't know how they know when the time changes, they still know the right time for dinner. Yep. And Dennis does this weird thing. So right when I go to bed, because I watch a TV in the living room to chill and then, you know, TV's off. Okay, time to go. He could be dozing. As soon as that TV's off, he gets up because he knows I'm going to grab water to put on my nightstand and he gets his snack. Every single time. And if I take him out and go to bed a little earlier, a little later, he's right there. Where's my treat? Yeah, it's hysterical. Okay, last question. And thank you so much for all of your input and insight. It's been wonderful. If you could change one thing about the pet industry, what would it be?
I would say more accountability for the bigger pet brands and the big box pet retailers. You know, we kind of touched briefly on adoption and TNR. And I think the give back of small businesses is so wonderful. And if the larger players in the pet industry could step up and use those $1 billion profits and resources to collectively end or help phase out things like the horrific cat and dog meat trade in countries where they're making their products. You know, they could certainly help solve the overpopulation crisis that so many rescuers are struggling with right now by redirecting funds into things like TNR and spay and neuter programs versus simply writing checks to overcrowded shelters, which actually, you know, we could probably do a whole segment just on this.
Yes.
But overcrowded shelters actually serve as huge moneymakers for these larger big pet and big vet industries. So, you know, I think something that I want to do as a small business owner is to challenge that status quo and, you know, eventually have productive conversations with the larger pet industry players to be able to actually help solve things like shelter overcrowding and tackling problems from the start with TNR initiatives. I think TNR shouldn't be grassroots. Right now, it's very much kind of like grassroots effort. And if there's more resources to make that you know, a bit more structured and organized and well-funded, the impact that organized, well-funded TNR programs could have has a tremendous ripple effect. And that could do so much to help shelters and the rescuers who are struggling and relying on donations every day. So I think just shifting the pet industry to have just a little bit more focus on purpose instead of just profit, profit, profit could do so much in the feline welfare space.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank you so much for coming on Catitude. Thank you, Ashley. Where can people find out more about Fluff and Boots?
So we are on socials at Fluff and Boots on Instagram and Facebook. And then our website is fluffandboots.com.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm so glad you were able to come on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. I appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I want to thank Ashley O'Brien, the CEO and founder of Fluff and Boots, for coming on Catitude. Thank you, my cat listeners, for listening to Catitude. We have over 300 episodes of Catitude to you to listen to. So if you've just become a fan, thank you so much. And check out the earlier episodes. Thanks to my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. Love you guys. Thanks, of course, to my amazing producer, Mark Winter, for all you do. The show would not be the same at all without the magic of Mark Winter. And hey, remember, lose the attitude, have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.